Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Japanese-born jazz pianist and composer Yoko Yates. We caught up with her to talk about her new 2022 CD called Mystic Life. She was born in Sapporo City, Japan, and began her studies on the keyboard at the age of 4. She was always exposed to a variety of music in her music-loving family. That led her to coming to America and learning so much more and moving on in her career. Enjoy the story.
Hey, thanks again for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
My pleasure. So your new CD, Mystic Life, mm-hmm. I'm curious, you know, we've been living through this pandemic for 2 years. There's a greater chance for people to be able to perform live and to promote mm-hmm. music. How does this particular timing of this release feel for you?
You know what? Honestly, I recorded much earlier, 2019, and I wanted to release before this pandemic, but because I didn't really imagine this happened at that time. So I was ready to release, just finished editing. It was, I think, March in 2020, so right before this pandemic started. So I was really discouraged at that time. You know, then producer Scott, I consulted with him, so I was such a big shock, but then we talked and probably market is going to close. So we kind of decided to wait for a year and to see how situation will change. So then I have waited like now, this is almost a third year. So eventually I think everything started kind of opening. I thought it's ready to release this CD. So I'm very excited.
Absolutely. So what are you hoping the listener gets from this CD, this new musical adventure of yours?
You know what? This one is really, it's kind of my personal journey. It kind of tells how I felt through nature or from, you know, childhood memory, but especially first piece, like Near the Horizon, to kind of get, you know, everybody kind of feels differently for their looking at the nature or feeling, but if they can expand their own imagination to be in touch with their own old memory or some sort of feeling, especially I lost my mother during this pandemic, and it was very tough. And then beforehand, also I had a little bit tough time. And there. But through composition, I gained back so much energy. Writing music is my release, my oasis. So if they can kind of, you know, share my feeling by listening to this music, then gain some courage or kind of serene feeling or reflection about themselves would be nice. That's what I thought.
So you're originally from Sapporo City, Japan. You started playing mm-hmm. music very early on.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about who some of your influences, jazz influences were, and just in your life that made you want to play music and get into jazz.
You know, there are kind of stages, so many different stages I passed through to reach to jazz. You know, I was classical trained pianist, but my sister really, I have two sisters, so eldest one is 10 years older than me, and the second sister 8 years older than me, so basically they are teenagers when I was very young, so they started really listening to pop music in their teenagers. In a family, we sometimes get together to do kind of a dance, you know, dance party. It's kind of fun gathering on the weekend. So then my parents also liked the music. They played, you know, Japanese old traditional pop songs or some classical or French chanson or those more traditional music, but they're not fun. And they started, you know, playing Beatles or, let's say, I cannot remember, but like Beach Boys, at the time I think they are very popular too. So then we danced with that. It was very fun. So starting from that, you know, I really enjoyed any kind of music, but also pop music. And then after that, they started introducing me like rhythm and blues or let's say, you know, Janis Joplin or Rolling Stones. And I started really listening to it. And my sister, eldest sister also brought Oscar Peterson's, I think, Canadian Suit, I think. And then she played for me. It was so beautiful, ambiguous chords. So since then, I think my interest also started shifting to that direction.
So what about your first live jazz show you saw that really blew you away?
Live jazz show, you know, there, because I was in Japan at that time, it's kind of a long time ago, but there are a bunch of, like, you know, I went to clubs, but not really by American jazz players or European jazz players, more like Japanese jazz players. Those kind of shows are pretty inspiring for me at that time because I was not, you know, I haven't reached adult age, so kind of I was behind my sisters and watching. And yes, but most of the resource was record, you know, LP record. I was listening. So I cannot really clearly remember. But more than that, I think, you know, like Stevie Wonder came to Sapporo City. That one was very big impression to me. At that time, I was also interested in pop music too, pop rhythm and blues. And Stevie Wonder was a very big influence to me too. So his show gave me a very strong impact.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I couldn't imagine seeing him. That would be wonderful. So talk to me a little bit about you went to Berkeley. Was it always a dream of yours to come to America to learn jazz and play it?
Yes, because, you know, I was studying at the University of Education in my home island, Hokkaido University of Education. Mm-hmm. At the time, you know, after basically my parents said to me, if you like to pass music, you have to make money. You have to keep eating. So I thought, okay, so let me become a teacher to teach art or music, then I can keep eating. So then my parents kind of allowed me to go to that direction because I wanted to engage myself in that field, art field, from like age 10. I was kind of dreaming. I really wanted to pass my career in that direction. So, but at the time, that the music education was so kind of behind, let's say, comparing to the music education here. We are just following that the sample model or try to imitate. It was not fun at all. So I wanted to really learn something more innovative. So then at that time, I was listening to jazz. So I thought, okay, you know, I have to study improvisation. At that time, Berklee College was very popular in Japan. And then, yes, I wanted to, you know, step forward to apply. Then luckily, fortunately, I got scholarship to apply, get in. So that would be my first step to start my dream.
What were your first gigs like, and how did kind of things start when you did get here to America and became a professional? How did that process work for you?
Honestly, it was not so easy because at the time I was not so, you know, expert in speaking English. I couldn't express myself so comfortably, easily. So I had to study English besides studying academics at the school. Berklee not only teaches music, but I had to also take some academics too. So it was not easy process. But, you know, in time I studied and started expressing myself easily. Then, yes, so then step by step, I started engaging myself more in playing, but I got into more writing music because, you know, like I was studying art, visual art, when I was in Japan. So that image really helps me to write music. I have a very strong connection with visual image when I write music.
Talk to me a little bit about what you look forward to the most about being a professional musician. You know, you get the opportunity to create music, present it live, and, you know, you're putting out a new CD. What do you like the best about this process?
Well, it's, again, this one is not easy, but, again, I love the creative process. So, you know, whenever I have a chance, I really take that image and I start thinking, pondering, and touching the piano. That one is really fun. I teach a lot, too. But whenever I have a chance, I start, you know, writing my idea. So then, you know, once I get, you know, like 10 pieces, kind of good number of pieces, I like to make CD like this, like, you know, all the scholars write their own books to publish. So same feeling I have for writing music.
With your students, you know, you've learned a lot over the years from mentors and playing with other players.
Mm-hmm.
What have you taken from your experience as a musician and a performer and tried to give to your students?
I teach, but I don't really teach jazz improv, like those jazz theory, but more than that, basics. I really have students help get into practice or, you know, to kind of build up their own basic techniques. Or sometimes I talk about the life. I'm a Buddhist too. So very important to share how music can help us. So I talk about those kind of things and have them really inspired to practice. And sometimes they don't want to practice, but, you know, I kind of bring up some examples through myself, my own experience. So then have them being interested in practicing. So, yes, more than then, yes, composition, it's hard. Well, some point I thought, you know, I can probably share my ideas of composition, but it's more personal, so it's harder to teach composition. But those kind of a basic stuff to get into music, that one is very important education, and I have been really enjoying to help students in that field.
As we've kind of mentioned, you know, COVID's been really rough on all of us. We've lost people and, mm-hmm. you know, gigs and the whole world of entertainment's been turned upside down. But, you know, when we're getting on the other side of this, as things start opening up, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music as we return to it?
I think music really nurtures us. And then it's also communication. If there is a music, we can communicate to quite many people. And then through teaching Zoom, you know, really it's quite different from teaching in person, but still by learning together and helping students to learn something, something special, something to encourage them, they get really energy from learning. So I think music is very important to open up their mind and then feel connection to each other and also bring up normalcy. You know, I think music is really, you know, I mean, from ancient ages, we have music. We had the music to really support each other and then jazz up. I think very important. Then even now it's live music is happening more. I'm very happy because really listen to music in the same place gives us much more strong impact. So I'm very happy people start doing and start engaging, coming to that show. Wonderful.
Why do you love jazz?
Yeah, freedom. Freedom and opening our heart, honesty, and the intuition. We can be very bored. We don't have to think. I mean, try to make good improvisation. Of course, we have to think carefully, but we can be very, you know, direct. I like it. Because in Japan, honestly, you can imagine when I grew up at the time, there were quite, you know, a lot of structure. So that's wonderful. But at the same time, I felt pressure, honestly, and I couldn't express myself freely. Some sort of kind of, you know, authority. So it was not easy to express ourselves at that time. But now, through writing and playing improvisation, I can be myself. That one is really how comfortable, how, you know, how nice to be myself.
Yes. So speaking of the Japanese culture, I've always been fascinated by how much the culture loves jazz. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Probably other people feel similar to what I feel, I think. They try to do everything in such a neat way, certain ways, very efficiently. But reality is, I mean, they like to relax. We like to be lazy sometimes. And then we like to be more open. And they like to say what we really honestly feel. So in a way, jazz kind of allows us to do it, you know, us to be ourselves. I think that part really probably attracts Japanese people, improvisation.
Yoko, thank you for taking some time out for Neon Jazz today and opening up about the new album. Good luck as we move forward.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Boston, Japan, Kansas City, and spots all over the world giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Yoko for her time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com, and for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.